Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our book pick segment for this week and for this Tuesday. And we do it with one of my favorite people on the planet, Matt Tannenbaum. He is the owner of the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, joining us this morning to tell us about the great books that he has been peddling over there in the Berkshires. Good morning, Matt. How are you? Did I not press
you?
Hey, how are you?
I pedal from dawn till dusk.
Till your peddler is sore.
Hello, Joe. Nice to hear your voice. Wish I was there with you.
I wish you were, too. I always look forward to our time where we get to catch up, but it's very nice to speak to you. How are things?
I've got my good radio clothes on, though.
Yeah. You're a dandy, is what you are.
So, Joe, I got to tell you, we're still only open curbside.
All right.
We have not opened for browsing to the public yet. I'm just not ready to do it. The governor says we can. A lot of shops in Lenox are open. I'm just not ready to do that yet. And we have a steady stream of people at the front door to whom we come out and pedal.
Excellent. Well, that's a way people can still connect with you and they can get the books, and that's good.
Yep. We do have some wonderful sidewalk conversations, masked sidewalk conversations, and what we've also done is we put on our website over 90 pictures of the books on the tables and shelves in the store, and every day we're getting a few more people finding those pictures and ordering. You know, you can zoom in on them on your phone or on your touch screen. And find a book that you would have been browsing at without me over your shoulder, and they call us or they write to us and we go find it just like they did, and it's a pretty lovely way to do things.
Well, it's no fun without you hanging over our shoulder, but we'll put up with that. All right, where would you like to begin of books that people should get?
The Berkshire Farm Table Cookbook.
Yes.
Lisa and Rob Bildner, local folks up in Beckett, have put together a cookbook and storybook of the 125 recipes from, what do they call it, from the New England Hills, from farms around the Berkshires. And they're terrific photographs, great stories, and terrific recipes. Countryman Press has published it, and we're selling it hand over fist. People buying 2-3 copies to give out to their summer guests to take home to wherever they're going to be going after they leave here. And we use it at home and make great recipes. It's a paperback. It's an oversized paperback from Countryman. It costs $24.95, and it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. They did a beautiful job putting it together.
You've seen it.
Have they been
on the show?
Yes. I mean, maybe they haven't been on this show. They've been on the station. How's that?
But the book that I really wanted to start with today is the national book. What do we call it? My Uncle Meathead. Mary Trump's
My Uncle Meathead.
I stole that from one of my customers.
All right.
It wasn't mine. Too Much and Never Enough: How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. We got our shipment yesterday. Charlie's up front right now calling people and telling people their copies are here. We have many orders and many people ordered it. And I'm going to read you just the – have you seen it, Joe?
I have seen it. I have not had it in my hand. I have only witnessed it from afar.
It starts with an epigraph from Victor Hugo, and I'm going to read this to you. If the soul is left in darkness, sins will be committed. The guilty one is not he who commits the sin, but the one who causes the darkness.
Ooh.
So this is a book about the Trump family and Donald's father and the dysfunction that was created in the family home. I read about a quarter of it last night. I wanted to have dinner and do other things. I didn't want to just spend my whole night with it. But it's very well written, and I recommend it to people.
The name of the book is Too Much and Never Enough: How My Family Created the World's Most Dangerous Man. It is by Mary Trump. It is the book everyone is talking about, and it's out. So
it's out. It's here. Okay.
It's now legal to buy, according to the courts of law. All right.
Next one is the book that probably would have been our biggest bestseller of the summer, by Jonathan Rosenberg. It's called Dangerous Melodies, Classical Music in America from the Great War Through the Cold War. Attitudes and behaviors in the classical music world during the First World War, the Great War. The Americans changed the name of sauerkraut to Liberty Cabbage and refused to listen to Wagner on the radio. And the chapter headings in this book, Terrorized by the Kaiser, We Must Hate the Germans, It Would Be a Gross Mistake to Play Patriotic Airs, Locking Up the Maestros, and chapter three, a great title, There Is No Visible Relationship Between a Wagner Opera and a Submarine.
Mm.
Part two is World War II. Part three is the Cold War. And the book begins with a quote from an admiring woman who saw Van Cliburn in his ticker tape parade in New York City after his triumphant return from Moscow in the Tchaikovsky competition. He's cuter than Tony Perkins. This is... Jonathan Rosenberg is a scholar from New York City. We met last winter when we decided we were going to have this. He was going to give a talk here also.
I think it was this
coming week, and we had one of those great conversations in the bookstore that people have that creates friendships that last generation, that last lifetimes.
Well, you mentioned Liberty Cabbage, and I had never heard that phrase until my mother told me about it shortly after my now departed mother talking about it during the Freedom Fry era.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that kind of eras like that lend themselves to jingoism. I think that's the word. And it's just absurd, but everybody gets caught up. And but as they say, there's no relationship between Wagner's opera and a submarine, or submarine warfare.
The name of the book: Dangerous Melodies.
Dangerous Melodies.
Classical Music in America from the Great War Through the Cold War by Jonathan Rosenberg. All right, next up.
Next is where's our next one? The next one is The Lost Memoir, Lou Gehrig. Do you know about this book?
I've heard about this book. I read a review of this book.
This is there was a guy named Christy Walsh was an agent back in the 20s. He was he made Babe Ruth more of a household name than Babe Ruth was already. Put him in the movies and this and that, and made bubblegum cards. But he also he took other ball players, including Lou Gehrig, and had them. He had Lou Gehrig write a weekly column during the season, and it was his memoir of being a baseball player. It's bowdlerized. It is maybe Lou didn't write all the words, but they were all his thoughts about what happens in a game and who his teammates are and what a great game baseball is. And it's and then there's a long biographical essay by Alan Gaff, a writer and a scholar who found the columns. They were not published in New York City. They were not where the Yankees were. They were published in Oakland, California, and a couple of other smaller town newspapers. But this guy Alan Gaff found him. It's called The Lost Memoir, and it's great to have Lou back on the page with us. I don't know if you're a baseball fan.
Absolutely, it is it's published by Simon & Schuster. It is out in hardcover. Lou Gehrig, The Lost Memoir, by Lou Gehrig, and Alan Gaff has the biographical essay included in that volume. All right.
The next one. Have you had David Sibley on your show?
Not for this last book. We have had David Sibley on in the past.
I remember when Sibley's name first came into when his field guide first came in. That was like the first new field guide to birds since Peterson and the Audubon Society.
Right.
And people just fell in love with the bird lovers knew this guy, I guess. And this book, the new one called What It's Like to Be a Bird, took me by surprise. I got a couple of copies in, and we've been selling it like it's going out of style. Ever wonder
it's
what
it's flying
like to
off
be
the shelves, if you will.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm here to help, Matt.
It's an oversized book. It's bird behavior. A bird's experience is far richer, more complex, and thoughtful than I had imagined, says David Allen Sibley. And he says, and if that was news to me after a lifetime of watching birds, it must be surprising to other people as well. So it's his line drawings. It's his drawings in context and the pictures of the birds, these beautiful drawings that he makes. And then he has the biological drawings. The woodpecker, the woodpecker's tongue.
Oh. All right.
Do you know about the woodpecker's tongue? Let's leave it at that. Go. It's on page 27. Go find it. And
All right. I'll check it out, man.
Check that.
Now I have to go curbside just to see a picture of the woodpecker's tongue. Good Lord.
Okay. The next one.
Yes.
So there was David Allen Sibley, and that is published by Knopf, I think, right?
Yes.
Yep. And the last one I have today is a memoir that came out a couple of months ago, and I don't think that anybody has talked about this on your show. It's called Here We Are, My Friendship with Philip Roth by Benjamin Taylor. And if you're a Philip Roth fan, this is such a lovely visit with an old master who we miss. We miss when he retired from writing. We miss after he died. My favorite Philip Roth quote, of course, is when Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize and Roth had wanted it. Roth thought he could get it or should get it.
As many of us did, but go ahead.
Right. And Roth, when Roth was told that Dylan won the Nobel Prize, he said, "Oh, I thought it should have gone to Peter, Paul, and Mary." So that was, but this is a lovely book, and the epigraph in this book is from his book The Human Stain, where he says think of the numbers for Tanglewood alone just between now and the year 4000, then multiply that times everything, the ceaseless perishing. What an idea! What maniac conceived it? And yet, what a lovely day it is today, a gift of a day, a perfect day, lacking nothing.
The name of the book is Here We Are, My Friendship with Philip Roth by Benjamin Taylor. That sounds fascinating.
It's great. It's just very, very, very sweet. I think we have a minute or two left, and I want to say to all the people who are listening to your show, who are these great, I've heard this from the other booksellers on your shows the last couple of weeks, how much they appreciate their customers. What their customers have done by keeping them, and in my case, in our case, keeping us alive, and it's our book reading public, Joe, is remarkable. It's adaptable,
yeah.
And they know the symbiotic relationship that we have with each other. They need me. I need them.
You talk about that symbiotic relationship, but what's fascinating about it is the trust that they have in you and their bookseller. They can't go in, they can't browse, but you all are adapting wonderfully and putting, as you described earlier, putting photos out and showing the tables, and they can browse that way, and they can just look in the window and they can come up and they can ask you, and they trust you and you trust them. And it really is a beautiful relationship.
It's very sweet, and I wish we could open. And I have all those bottles of wine at the wine bar.
Go ahead.
Truth be told, we don't have as many as we did earlier this summer.
Yeah, they're under your desk. Well, I'll tell you, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to talk to you again. I assume the weirdest summer ever will somehow end and we'll be able to get together. But in the meantime, it's just great to have you on the show. It's great to hear your voice, and it's great to have you present these wonderful books to us. It's always eclectic and interesting when you're on, and I thank
That's
you very
great.
Much from the... And by the way, I also want to thank the listener who sent me the picture from their copy of The Woodpecker's Tongue.
Oh.
It will haunt me forever. Matt, I love you. Be well.
Thanks, Joe. I love you too, man. Thank you.
Take
Thank
care.
You for the, everything.
Be well. Bookstoreinlenox.com. We'll be right back.